Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome. Welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. This is episode 325, and we are taking another look at that wonderful book, Hearing God, by Dallas Willard. This is part 10 of the series. We only have one more to go, and we're discussing issues around developing a conversational relationship with God. Now, chapter 9 of Willard's book is called A Life More Than Guidance. More than guidance. It's about a life, isn't it? Our relationship with God is a relationship, not a transactional connection where we want things and seek them from God until he sort of delivers. No, it's more about that relationship of understanding him, because the more we understand him, surely the better our relationship with God will be. It's about faith. It's about faith more than knowledge. It's not opposed, as Willard says in his book. Faith is not opposed to knowledge. It's opposed to sight. So we live by faith, developing our relationship with him, becoming more and more comfortable having a conversational relationship with him. Let's talk about a couple of principles here. Firstly, the fact that we don't always seem to be able to hear from God. What does that mean? God is certainly capable of accurate speech, but we're not always capable of accurate understanding or truly properly hearing. And that's not the fault of the speaker of God. It also doesn't mean that we should give up trying when we are struggling to understand God or hear from him. Our responsibility is to learn how to hear better. Mark 4, verse 23 to 25. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. And then perhaps the key phrase, consider carefully what you hear. Consider it. It means meditating, thinking on what you're hearing. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. Whoever has will be given more. We will grow more. We will understand more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. I think he's putting the point there is to say, don't give up. Don't give up trying to hear. Don't give up listening and attempting to grow in your capacity and perhaps even your skill at hearing from God. Ultimately, the question is, how much do we really want to hear from him? Because if we really want to hear from God, we will persevere whilst we're struggling to develop that capacity. He says, quoting James Dobson, actually, in Willard's book, he says, I get down on my knees and say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do, and I am listening. Please speak to me. Speak to me through my friends, books, magazines I pick up and read, and through circumstances. And what James Dobson is doing there, as Willard observes it, is he's giving God plenty of channels through which to speak, and he's not limiting God. Of course, God may choose to speak through those or some other circumstance or channel, but James Dobson is saying, God, I'm available to listen through whichever conduit you wish to communicate. There's a humility there. We're not trying to make God communicate with us in the way that we would find convenient or comfortable or simple for us. So after praying that kind of prayer for the ability to listen, of course, it's a good idea to not get too busy for a while afterwards. Now, in the book, Willard points out that trying to force God to speak to us is not a good idea, and that in itself should be clear enough. But he uses the examples from 1 Samuel 13 and 1 Samuel 28, and I haven't got the space here to read all of this passage, so I'll refer to it, but please do go and have a closer look at that. It's 1 Samuel 13 and 1 Samuel 28. In the first situation, the Philistines go up against the Israelites, and it's a terrible situation. Saul's in Gilgal. He waits for Samuel. Samuel doesn't come. The men begin to scatter. So Saul decides to offer up a burnt offering, Samuel turns up. Saul goes out and Samuel asks him, "What have you done?" And Saul gives his excuses for what he had done, which was unauthorized. But Samuel says the tragic words, "You have done a foolish thing. You haven't kept the command the Lord your God gave you." God has his ways of speaking to us, and woe betide us if we try and force him into speaking to us in a way that he has not chosen. And in chapter 28, Saul goes to the desperate lengths of asking his attendants to find a woman who's a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. And there's one in Endor, they say. He disguises himself, goes out there with two men, consult a spirit. She asks which one. The woman says, "You know what Saul has done. He's killed all the medium spiritists." But Saul himself says, "As the Lord lives, you will not be punished. Who shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel." And she then cries out at the top of her voice when Samuel appears to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." I mean, it's a desperate and dreadful situation. Samuel says, "Why do you consult me? Why? Now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy." There's no rescuing his situation. His heart is far from one of wanting to truly hear God's word. He wants to manipulate God. And this is one of the dangers of trying to, well, not trying to listen to God, but listening to God in a way that is self-serving. We're trying to decide what we want God to say effectively. So what do we do when we're not enjoying or encountering some communication from God? Does it mean we are unworthy? No, not necessarily. Sometimes God may not speak because he wants us to take a decision without his input. His will could be that it's us who decide. In his book, Willard says, we may insist on having God tell us what to do because we live in fear or are obsessed with being right as a strategy for being safe. So as much as we shouldn't rush into decisions, as much as we shouldn't try and manipulate God into confirming the decisions that we want to make, at times we need to take responsibility for our own decisions. If we've laid out the issues before God and he is not giving us the guidance that we might prefer or we think would be better, then rather than living in fear, rather than trying to play it safe, we pray and faithfully make a decision. If God is not telling, it may mean it doesn't matter. Certainly God knows how to give good gifts to his children, Luke 11:30. God's perfect will could allow for a lot of different options. As Willard says, human initiative is not cancelled by redemption. It's heightened by immersion in the flow of God's life. Finally, Willard asks whether there really is a formula for living with God's voice. He states, and I believe it, there's no such thing as a formula. Perhaps there are some foundational steps to living with God's voice. Firstly, a desire to grow, to discover what God desires. Not so much what I desire or how to communicate that with him, but more a deep desire to grow, to discover what he desires. That prayer, God, what is your desire today? And the second foundational step is to use the Spirit's power to serve others. If our desire is to discover God's desires, and our desire is that the Spirit may be given to us or empowering in us to enable us to serve other people in God's name, faith expressing itself through love, then those seem to be good foundational steps for living with God's voice. Some things that may help us with that are to meditate on the scriptures, not just read them, but meditate. Being alert to what's happening in our lives around us, in our circumstances. Talking to God often, not just occasionally, and specifically, not just generically. Making a plan for listening to God, those times and places where you stop and listen. And when God does not speak, asking him if it's something to do with you, some sin, some issue personally, or perhaps asking others what they think when we're not hearing from God. Perhaps we need to put right something that has been done wrong, perhaps ourselves or helping somebody else. And if there is no other guidance, then doing what seems best to us, at least within God's will as we understand it and the principles of the scriptures. So, today we've discussed, looked at, and thought about what it means to live a life more than guidance, not insisting that God tell us every single thing we should do and every detail of every decision. How do we handle that? How do we not force God into communicating, but yet how do we create the best conditions to hear from him? What's the right spirit to have? Next week, we'll go on to look at the epilogue of the book, and that'll conclude the series. So I'd be very interested to know what you think about this series, any of the points I've raised today, or the book itself. If you've read it, I would like to know, and what's had the biggest impact on you from the book itself. If you know anybody that might benefit from this, do please pass the link on. And you can leave a comment anywhere you're here or see this recording, or you could email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. My website contains a lot of spiritual materials. You may want to look at that. That's malcolmcox.org. And the YouTube channel contains many other recordings on other topics to do with teaching and worship, as well as times of quiet with God. Well, until the next time, I hope you enjoy a conversational relationship with God. Take care, and God bless.